Okay, so learning tonight is, this is Daftun Gimel, the learning tonight is the Luna Shama of Avram Shalom ben, Meir Shalom ben Avram Menachem, the former of Racha, by Alan Masrik, memory of his father. Yeah. Okay, let me go back to the Mishnah on Nanalapam and Beis, and we'll pick up today's Gemara. Look quickly on Nanalapam and Beis, it's page 102, 51b. So in the middle of the Mishnah, around 8 lines down, the first word in line is about Morei Ha'esh. Mm-hmm. So it says, Beit Shammai Rim Shebarama or Ha'esh, Beit Hillam Rim Borei Morei Ha'esh. So we spoke about this last night, Beit Shammai says, Nisach Bracha is Shebaram or Ha'esh. We said that Baram Borei, that wasn't the key. The key is Ma'or Ha'esh, singular, Beit Hillam Rim Borei Morei Ha'esh. Eim Avarchen Lo'al Aner, Tana Mishnah says one can't recite the bracha on the Ne'er. It means on Motzei Shabbos, one shouldn't recite the bracha on the Ne'er of the Besamim Shel Akum of the non-Jews. So we said it's related to Avodah Zarah, Lo Ne'er v'lo Besamim Shel Metim, and we'll discuss that tonight. The Ne'er and the Besamim for a person that's dead, v'lo Ne'er v'lo Besamim Shel Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara said that line explains the previous line. V'mevarchen lo Ne'er atchiot l'ora. One can't make a bracha on the candle until you benefit from the candle. We'll discuss that also later tonight. If a person forgot and didn't bench in the place where he was when he ate the meal, he forgot. Beit Shammai says you have to go back to the place where you ate and then bench. Beit Hillel says you'll bench in the place that you remember. Yeah, my time of barach. How long can a person bench after eating? Until the food gets digested in his stomach or intestines, and we'll discuss that also later tonight. If wine is brought after the main meal, im ein sham elo to kos, if they only have that one cup of wine, b'shamer mivarach l'yan v'charkach mivarach l'mazon. So b'shamer says you make a bracha on the cup of wine and then you'll bench. Meaning b'shamer doesn't hold you need a kosher bracha. B'hilo omrim mivarach l'mazon v'charkach mivarach l'yan. B'hilo says I'll use the cup for a kosher bracha. V'onin amein achar Yisrael hamivarach. One answers amein after a Jew who recites the brachot. V'ein amein achar kuti mivarach. Chachishman kol bracha kula. One doesn't answer amein after a kuti, because you're afraid that he has references maybe to Avodah Zarah in there, until you hear the whole bracha, then you know you're okay with a kuti. Okay, now we'll go to Nunbeis and Beis on the bottom line, on page 104, the bottom line. Everybody with me? Okay, 52b, the bottom line. So Tana Rabbanan, or Sheshabat Mevarchen Lav. So we're focusing on the Havdalah candle. So the Tana Brisa says, or Sheshabat Mevarchen Lav, one can recite the bracha on a candle that rested on Shabbos. It's going to come out that if the candle was lit on Shabbos, then you don't want to, you know, bench, you know, Borei Morei Ha'esh and that. And again, Borei Morei Ha'esh, we're mentioning that bracha, it commemorates that Hashem gave Chachma in Adam Arishon to take the two stones after Motzei Shabbos and create fire. So he says, Or Shabbat Mabarach Alav, Vishlobo Shabbat Eim Mabarach Alav. If the candle, the fire, didn't rest, one can't make a bracha on it. We don't know what it means. My Shabbat and my Lo Shabbat, what does the Tana mean by that rested or didn't rest? So the top line on Gimel and Aleph, Inema Lo Shabbat Machmat Malacha, if we mean that it didn't rest from any malacha, I mean, it was even if the malacha was mutar to do on Shabbos, but it was lit as a result of that, one can't recite a bracha. Bahatani, we learn in the Braisa, or shel chayav shel chola mevarkalav. If a light was lit on Shabbos to help a chaya, as a woman who just gave birth, or a chola, or a sick person, one could recite a bracha on it. So even though the candle was lit on Shabbos, the Tana of the Braisa says one could recite a bracha on it under those circumstances. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mai Shavat. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, what does it mean when the Braisa says Ne'er Sheshavat? Sheshavat Machmat Melechet Aveira. It means it wasn't lit in, you know, against halacha. If it was lit in accordance with halacha, so then you could recite a bracha on it. But if it was lit, you know, against Jewish halacha, not. Tana Nami Hachi, we learn a price that supports this. Ashishaita delechet volechet kolayom kulo. If a lamp was burning the whole Shabbos, the Mosei Shabbat Mavarchala. After on Mosei Shabbos, one can recite a bracha on it. Let me just do another 10 lines and I'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? So the fifth line. Tan Rabbanan, Nachri Shadlich Mi Yisrael, Yisrael Shadlich Mi Nachri Mivarchen Alav. The Braisa says of a goy had a fire from a Jew, so the goy lit the fire from the Jew, Yisrael Shadlich Mi Nachri, or a Jew who lit the fire from goy. It means the first person had the fire, and now the second person gets his torch from him. So in those circumstances, Mivarchen Alav, one can recite the bracha of Borei Morei Ha'esh. Nachri mi nachri eim evarchen alav. But a goy from another goy, in other words, a goy had a fire, goy A had a fire, and then goy B lit his fire from him, even though goy B is lighting on Mosei Shabbos, I can't Well, we'll see in a minute. We'll see. So, Maishna Nachri Minachri Delo, why is it that lighting from one goy to another goy I can't? Mishum Delo Shabbat. Because the first goy, we presumably, he lit it Baveira. In other words, the fire was lit Baveira, not Baveira. In other words, the goy didn't violate halakha by lighting Shabbos, but it means it wasn't, it wasn't like a Shomer Shabbos candle type of thing. He says, Mishum Delo Shabbat. So, I Hachi Yisrael Minachri Nami. So, if that's the case, so when a Jew lights from the goy, it should also be prohibited. Halo Shabbat. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're telling me I can't make a bracha on a candle that a goy, in other words, you have, let's say, well, we'll call it Ivan and Giovanni. Okay, so Ivan has the fire on Shabbos, and Giovanni lights from him on Motzei Shabbos. So I can't make a bracha on Giovanni's candle. But nevertheless, we said if that's because the first goy, Ivan, he violated where he lit the candle on Shabbos. But then what about when Ivan lights the candle on Shabbos and the Jew on Motzei Shabbos gets the fire from him? We could make a bracha on that one. So what's the difference? He says, Yihachi Yisrael Minachri Nami Halo Shabbat. V'chi Tema, so Hach Yisur Azaleh V'achrinahu U'v'yadad Yisrael Kamet Yalda. Some of you say like this. Look, when the Jew lights from the Goy, so maybe he will say the original fire is not there anymore, and now the fire keeps regenerating itself. In other words, like, what is a fire? So it's an energy force, but it burns. So maybe I'll say, and the Gemara will clarify everything, maybe I'll say that the fire when it was originally lit was a problem. But now, when the Jews lit it, so the fire has changed, and now it's heter. He says, so if that's the case, Elahad Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, and I hope you remember this, we'll have this in the Masechet Shabbos coming up. Motzi shall have it l'rishut rabbi m'chayav. So the Braisa says, now on Shabbos, if you remember, we'll have it later on Masech Shabbos, there are different shiurim for everything to be chayav and hotzah. In other words, even if I carry an object, but if it's not the shiur for that object, let's say food has a certain shiur, everything has a certain shiur. So we're talking about a case where a person has a pot shard, and he coats it with oil and he lights it, and so he's got a flame he's taking out. So the pot shard is not the shear for hotza'ah. So he's carrying out, in essence, a fire. So he carries out a fire, let's say from Rishus Yaakov, Rishus Arabim, or Abraham Rishus Arabim. So Atani Amotzi shall have a Rishus Arabim Chayav. So the Tana of the Braisa says, if a person is Motzi, he was in Rishus Yaakov, he carries out this pot shard with the fire and he puts it down in Rishus Arabim, he's Chayav for hotza'ah on Shabbos. And it can't be for the pot shard because the pot shard is not the shear. So it must be that he's chayav for carrying out the flame. He says, "Amay chayav mashakar lo iniach mashniach lo akar." If your thesis is correct, that a fire keeps changing, and the fire that's here now is not the fire that's here 5 minutes later, so why should he be chayav for hotzah? I'm only chayav for hotzah if the object I take out of the Rishus Yachid, I put that same object in the Rishus Arabim. Here where the object keeps changing, so that was your thesis that the fire keeps changing, but that doesn't hold water. So El Liolam the Isurinami Ita. So the Gemara says, in Achinami, one has to say that the original Isur remains with the candle. So in other words, when the Jew lights from the Goy, so the original Isur stays there. But you're right that the candle is changing and there are, it's adding on to it and things like that. So when the Jew makes a bracha on the candle that he lit from the Goy on Motzei Shabbos, so he's making a bracha on the additional, not the original Isura of fire. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Nachri Minachri Nami. So if that's the case, so what's the problem with the Goy? With another Goy. So if Goy A lit it on Shabbos, then Goy B lights from him. If you tell me that Inachinami is changing but the Easter is still there, but I can still make a bracha on the new part, so what's the, so why is it that the Jew lights from the Goy so I can make the bracha? The Goy lights from the Goy, I can't make the bracha. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Inachinami, you're right, it is the same case. There is no difference between those two cases factually, but he says, Gzeirum shem nochri rishon v'yamad rishon. But it's a Gzeirum that we're afraid that if I permit you to make the bracha that from the candle that the Goy lit from the Goy, people will say, what's the difference between this goy, that goy, the other goy? In other words, I can make a bracha on the first one. You know what I mean? So people won't know to distinguish that if I keep with the goyim. With the Jews, the presumption is the Jews are...
It's Marasayin.
So the Jews, it's not. I wouldn't say exactly Marasayin. I would say it's Xavier that's going to lead people to have like a certain type of conduct. You know, Marasayin is usually people will think something other than what you did. In other words, you'll think A and B, and it's not exactly the case here. But we're afraid that people will say, what's the difference of, a goy from a goy? Or I could use the original goy's flame. All right, let me pause for a second. So the basic idea we learned is A, that it has to be near Shabbat, that the candle was not lit by Veira on Shabbos, and secondly,
we said that if the Jew lights his candle from the candle that a goy had on Shabbos, and now the Jew has his own candle, so that I could make a bracha on that one, because the candle is like having new stuff and has the old stuff, but the new stuff still counts. Okay, so any questions, comments? Okay. Question. Go.
How's a goy fire on Shabbos in Ne'er Aveira?
Yeah, you're right. I was wondering the same thing. So he's not mitzvah on Shabbos, but it means it's like something that's created on the Shabbos. In other words, it's like, you know, it's
for you, it's a Jew, for a mitzvah was created on Shabbos,
right,
it's okay.
Right.
If it wasn't Israel, so how's
right.
it a guy?
Yeah.
There's no chi, just the opposite. If a guy keeps Shabbos, he's chayav misa.
Right. But in other words, like
you
so
mess it up.
It means the only way to get out of it, in other words, if it's lit on Shabbos, it's no good unless it's the shame mitzvah. The mitzvah being to shave a Jew.
Right.
That's it. But the goyim, it's not mitzvah
but
for them.
But it can't be the reason that it was done
I tell you this, Rabbi Packer, I was speaking to him today about it. So he was referring to this medrash that talks about the Sambatyon, and there was this river and it would rest on Shabbos. You know what I mean? So it's like the idea that,
So the idea is not that it was because it was done by Aveira, it's the idea that it wasn't Shabbos.
It wasn't done like Beheter. We'll say it like that. In other words, like for L'shem Mitzvah.
Okay. All right,
what you got?
Okay, so in yesterday's daf, we had this whole scenario about if there's something that's ritually impure, you get first degree.
Right.
So if the goy lighting on Shabbos is an Aveira,
It's not an Aveira, but I can't use that candle.
Right.
I can't use that candle.
If you applied the same rationale to the concept, that technically that's impure, why would lighting from that still be permissible? Isn't the impurity impure? Doesn't the same concept
apply? You're applying, again, I always tell everybody, like, if you have something in one area of halacha, don't apply it to another area of halacha.
You can't
make Gezeirah Shabbos like that. So Tumen Tara is one thing, but here with the candle, the idea is, I don't want the fire to be something that was, you know, created on Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos represents like the creative forces of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if this fire was created on Shabbos, I don't want to make a bracha on that. So if the Jew lights from the goy, so enough of the candle is like new, even though there's still Easter there,
I can make
the bracha. Right. In other words, there's new there and there's a little Easter there. There's also prohibited there, so I can make a bracha on that. If the goy lights from the goy, it's the same thing, but there's a gzeira d'rabbanan that we shouldn't do it because people will come to use the first goy's candle.
Got it.
Okay.
In terms of
Tumen Tara, I wouldn't connect to Tumen Tara. Okay, now the third white line on top.
You forgot about me.
What's up? I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm Shuldig Mir.
It's okay. The Hotza issue, does that have Mukta component to it, carrying the flame out, even if the shard is not the shear?
Yeah, you're right. There is a Mukta issue, right? If it would be, in other words, he's violating Dini Mukta also. This fellow doesn't sound like he's so concerned about the Mukta issue, or maybe he is, but he's also violating Dini Mukta by doing that. Okay.
I had a question on the Mishnah you were going over. You said the one where there were four pieces to it. The third one explained the first.
Yeah.
Why would there be the second one, which was a different topic in between? You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So you're talking about where we said about the candle and the psalmim. So it belongs to Akum. So I don't know. I don't know why the other thing is in the middle. Okay, the third white line. We got to keep moving. Okay, third white line. So Tan Rabbanan, we're on Nun Gimel Al 53A, the third white line. So Tan Rabbanan, Hayamahali Chutz LeKrach. If a person was walking on a Motzei Shabbos outside a walled city, and he sees like light, like somebody's light coming from the city, he says, Imrov Nachrim in Mubarak. If most of the people in that city are goyim, he can assume the light he's seeing was lit by a goy, so he can't make the bracha borim or ish. He says, Imrov Yisrael Mubarak. If most of the people in the city are Jews, so then he can rely that it's from a Jewish candle, and the idea is the Jews are Shomer Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. The price is internally contradictory. Amri Imrov Nachrim in Mubarak. You say, if most of them are goyim, I can't make a bracha. The implication being, hamech samech samavarech. If it's exactly half, let's say there are 100 people in town, then I could make the bracha. Bahadur Tani, and then the Brisa says, Imrov Yisrael Mavarech. If they're mostly Jews, you can make a bracha. bracha. So exactly 50-50, you can't make a bracha. So the Gemara says, "Bedinu dafilu mesa mesa na mivarech." So the first diuk was correct. In other words, it's rov nachrim, you can't be mivarech. Exactly 50-50, you could be mivarech. But Idi the Tana Resha, rov nachrim, but the Tana is just, you know, for symmetry of language, since in the first halacha he's quoted, if most of the people in the city were goyim, Tana say for rov Israel. Now, why should this be the case? The idea of rov we understand. And so if it's rov, so I'm entitled to assume that light I'm seeing is from the rov. That's the idea. But why should it be if it's mechsal mechsa that I could make the bracha? That's what we're saying. If it's exactly, you know, 50% goyim, 50% Jews. So what I saw today is that there's a svara to say that even among the goyim, so it might be that the candle was lit not on Shabbos. In other words, it's possible that the goy lit it after Shabbos. So I can take that and be mitzarif it, you know, to the Rov Yisrael. In other words, we assume the Jews, they're all 100% Shomer Shabbos. And the goyim, even though they're not observing Shabbos, but if you see a light on Motzei Shabbos, it could be some, like maybe that there are a couple of goyim who lit it after Shabbos. So that would throw it over the 50 per degree mark. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, we're on the 8th wide line. If a person is walking outside the walled city, so it's Motzei Shabbos, he sees a child walking with a torch in his hand. I think we have some safety issues here, but he sees a child with a torch in his hand. Bodek Acharav, he investigates, in Yisrael hu mevarech. So if the child is Jewish, so then he can recite a bracha on that candle, because presumably it was not created on Shabbos. Im Nachrihu, but if the child is a Gentile, ain't mevarech, then he cannot recite the bracha, because then the presumption is that it was lit on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, my ear, Yitinok, why is the Tana of the Braisa mention a child? Afilu gadol nami, even if it would be an adult, would be the same issue. And so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hacha b'samach l'shkita chamaskinan. So we're talking about a case, and again, this question of Farshim, understand this is like right after Shabbos, or like a few minutes before the end of Shabbos. He says, gadol mucha melta d'vadai nachrihu. So if it's a gadol, in other words, a Jew would not light, would not be walking around with a torch, you know, like right the minute after Shabbos is over type of thing. So if you see somebody walking around, so then with the torch, so then he's a goy. He says, but tinok, but a child, Emor Yisrael who the ikri v'nakid. It could be a child grabbed the flame and walked out with it, and then so it could be a scenario like that. All right, Tan Rabbanan, Hamahale chutz l'krach ra'or. Now he's walking outside the city and he sees fire. If the fire is so large, like the mouth of the furnace. Now here, the key halacha here is that the light has to be lit for purposes of illumination. If the light was lit for other purposes, you can't make the bracha boring more ha'esh. So the Gemara says, he sees like a large amount of fire, looks like it's coming from a furnace. He says, mivarech alav. Then he can make the bracha, v'imlav einu mivarech alav. Otherwise he can't. So now the Gemara explains, Tanichada or shall kivshan mevarech alav. We learn in one brisa that one can recite the bracha on the fire from a furnace. But tani idach ein mevarech alav. We learn in the brisa one cannot recite a bracha. Lo kasha habechila halabasof. So the Gemara says no contradiction. It means when the furnace is first being fired up. They're talking about a furnace is being fired up to prepare lime or something like that. So it's the fire is not there for illumination purposes. It's just there to process the lime. So that's betchila, and then I cannot recite a bracha on it. But then, after the process is done, they would throw some wood in and things like that to really burn out the oven and to create a big fire, and that is done for illumination. So besof, then I could make the bracha. Let's take a look. He says, and if you look in Rashi, Besof, he says, L'charshin istrufu ha'avanim, after the stones have been burnt, this is like preparing with the lime, he says, L'charshin istrufu ha'avanim, Ruban madlikin or gadol, milamala, l'marek streifan ha'avanim. After the stones have been burned, so they would create a big fire in order to clean everything up. He would use that light. That's the key. So now back in the Gemara, Tani Chada. Now we learn another brisa, or shel Tanar. So essentially we had kivshan as a furnace. That's a big, you know, fiery container. Now we have a tanur, an oven, and we're going to have that also in the Masech Shabbos, and that's like a trapezoid. It's wide on the bottom and narrow on the top. So he says, or shel Tanur v'shel Kirayim. If I have a flame that's coming from a tanur, Or kirayim is like a big rectangle, box-like type of thing, and you could have two pots on top of it. He says, or shaltan rishal kirayim mivarachin alav. One braisa says I can recite the bracha from the oven or the kira. V'tani idach, kirayim is like a double kira. He says, v'tani idach ein mivarachin alav. Another braisa, I can't. You know which is the way this is headed. So lo kasha ha-bechila ha-lebasof. So he says, a similar idea that the tanur, he says, you could make a bracha because after the oven has been heated up and the pot has been cooked, they would light, he says, like these pieces of wood in order to illuminate and to grab the heat in the oven. So at the end, that's made, that fire is for illumination purposes. The fire in the beginning was not made for illumination. I can't make a bracha on that. Tani chada, we learn one braisa, or shel beit haknesset shel beit medrash mivarchalav. One braisa says the light in the shul and the base medrash one can recite a bracha on. It was light that's like using to light the premises. Tani idach ein mivarchalav. We learn in the braisa one cannot recite the bracha on it. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, there's no contradiction. Hada ik adam chashuv. Now the way Rashi learns, if it was lit for an adam chashuv, an important person, means it wasn't lit for illumination. It's just lit out of kavod for this important person, so then I cannot recite the bracha on that light. He says, Ahad lit adam chashuv. If there's no adam chashuv, so then that's for illumination, and then I could recite the bracha. Now, Tosfos learns just the opposite. If you look in the third Tosfos, but Adam Chashuv Laura, he says, for Adam Chashuv, that's for the light. In other words, so he everything is lit up well for him. But Adam Chashuv, that's just for Kavod. But either way, the idea is, the Bain idea is, if it's lit for illumination, you can make a bracha, otherwise not. Now, back in the Gemara, he says, V'iba ineima, habaha de'ika Adam Chashuv. Or else I could say that both braises are talking about there's an Adam Chashuv. So according to Rashi, it would mean that theoretically I couldn't make the bracha. He says, V'lo kasha, had ika chazana, had lecha chazana. But the nafkamina is whether the chazan is also there. The chazan is like the shamus who takes care of the shul and he lives in an adjoining room. So even though there's an Adam Chashuv there and they lit it for him, but they probably also had in mind that the shamus should also use that light. V'ibay deima, haba the ika chazana. Or else I could say both braises are talking whether there's a shamus. And Mela, normally you would say you can benefit from it. V'lo kasha, had ika if there's a full moon out, so then the people probably thought the shamans can rely on the radiance of the full moon for his lighting circumstances. But the so maybe the light was not lit for illumination because he's got the moon to rely on. But if there's no moon, then it was lit for illumination purposes. All right, let me just do another five lines, then I'll pause. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Hayoshvim b'Beit HaMedrash for you or l'fneihem. They were sitting in the Beis Medrash on a Motzei Shabbos, and they brought like a torch in front of them. Beit Shammai Amrim Kol HaKavachad Mivarech La'Asvo. Beit Shammai says everyone in the Beis Medrash should recite their own bracha, Borei Morei Ha'esh. Uvid Hillel Amrim Echad Mivarech L'Kulam. Beit Hillel holds one person will make a bracha for everybody in the Beis Medrash. Mishum Shenemar Barova Mahadrit Melech. Because the pasuk says Barova Mahadrit Melech, and the multitudes is the glory of the king. So it's a bigger mitzvah. One recites a bracha for everybody. So the Gemara says Bishleim Beit Hillel Mafarshi Tama. So Beit Hillel, I understand. They explain their svara fine. Ela Beit Shammai Ma'i Tama. What's the reason for Beit Shammai who holds no? Let's not do it that way. So they also obviously the pasuk is there. So Beit Shammai knows from that pasuk. So Kesavri Nebito Beit Medrash. They're concerned for Bito Beit Medrash. Ways of learning it. Some want to say that it means that if everybody stops at one moment to hear the Borei Morei Ha'esh, so learning stops in the base medrash for that moment. So this way, according to Beit Shammai, everybody makes their own bracha and can go on that way. Oh, right. And then, or another pshat is that if everybody makes their own, if everybody answers to a bracha, so everybody's got to quiet down. Like in other words, like let's say there's 100 people in the base medrash. So it's not like just 5 seconds. I got to say everybody get quiet, this, that, the other. Maybe it will take a minute or two, and then everybody will hear the bracha. So then the learning will go on for those few minutes. Whereas with Beit Shammai, so it's going on. Everybody's just doing their own private bracha. And then I also saw in another pshat that wants to say that the amen is the interruption, which will lead us into the next sugya. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, so everybody's going to hear to say amen and here we have Beit Shammai, everybody's doing their own bracha, so no ami. So Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a braisa that supports this. Shabbat Rabban Gamliel, Elohim Omrim, Mar Pei Bevein HaMedrash. This is why I said, if it said, according, it says, the house of the Rav Gamliel would not wish like a gesundheit in the base medrash. They wouldn't say su gesund when somebody sneezed, but they bitul beit medrash, because it was considered bitul beit medrash to say gesundheit. So if you look in the, there's a Gilyon HaShas here, which is a famous one. Let's take a look. Everybody have it, the Gilyon HaShas. You know, the I don't know if you want to open a regular Gemara or anything, Robert. You have a yeah, but you, what I'm reading now, you may have it. All right. Anyway,
I'm just listening.
All right. The Gilyon HaShas from Rabbi Akiva Eger. So if you look at Gilyon HaShas, where it says Rashi Mar Pesh Rigim Lamar B'Chulei. Everybody have it. You have pasted up, right? You have it?
Yeah.
Okay. For who be Pirkei the Reb Lazer Perikman Beis Yom Shiv Rushmaya Ba'aretz Lo Yadam Chola Elo Imayab Derekol B'Shuk Vaya Oteish V'Nishmato Yotzei Minachirav. So he says originally when man was created, so he wouldn't get any forewarning of his death. He just sneezed and then that's it, dead. Like you just sneezed and then you're gone. He says Achabai Yaakov Avinu Bekeish Rachamim, until Yaakov came along, he was Mevakeish Rachamim from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'Yomar Ribon Kolam Imalti Kach Nafshi Mimeni Achatzav Banai Uvnotam. He says, I want to have a little, you know, forewarning, you know, when I'm going to die. I don't want to just sneeze and gone. I want to know when I can, so the Ne'etarlo, and that's what it says, like it says in Chumash, it says, by you godly Yosef, Hinei Avicha Chole. They said, your father is Chole, meaning Hinei Avicha Chole. Like, nobody got sick before. Now, he's sick. So he says here, so therefore, when a person sneezes, you have to say chayim, like life, like gesundheit. He says, in other words, what would have been death is now switched to like light. Like his I don't know what this pasuk is, but his sneezes will have like an aura of light on it. Okay, in other words, what's
it?
What
means good health?
Yeah, right.
It's not chayim. It's not.
Yeah, but no, but no, the same idea, life, good health.
We say chayim too.
Look, he says here in the Gemara, he said marpei. Marpei is, what is marpei? Marpei is good health. So it's the same idea, you get the idea.
Yeah, I looked at Wikipedia, by the way, so apparently it says that some pope, like in the year 600, set this thing up. It's supposed to say God bless you or something. So they have Wikipedia.
Well, you see, I don't know if
Wikipedia
is right.
The Gemara,
so maybe you can add an addition to Wikipedia. Yeah. Okay, let's take it back to the Gemara.
I've read that before, that they used to sneeze. But Yitzchak did have a chance to give the brachas to his kids. Even...
Yeah, in other words,
end of life bracha.
Yeah, but that wasn't like an end of life for him. In other words, that was, Yitzchak was going to live for a while, so giving the bracha.
Yaakov, he gives end
like he gives his. Some say it's a nevuah, some say it's bracha, but you have to. Yaakov's bracha are very specific to each one. All right, let's go back to the Gemara.
Okay,
let's take a look. Well, all right. In other words, a person, you could say it may or may not, in other words, it may be nevuah what the person is, but it's like telling the person, you know, what the strong points, the weak points, and they know where to go from there. Now,
Esav himself knew that Yitzchak was going to die. Remember,
he says, when he dies, I'll get rid of Yaakov. I don't know when he's going to die.
He said,
it could be 20, it could be 30 years from now, but he says, that's what he says. Okay, let's back in the Gemara. Now, all right, I got to move. We're running out of time. Okay, now we're at the two dots around 15 lines from the bottom. Okay, so aim of ark and lo aner v'lo b'samim shel meitim. We don't make a bracha on the candle or the b'samim meitim. So the Gemara is going to explain that the candle, if it's done for the kavod ha'meis, so it's not done for illumination, I can't make a bracha on that. And the b'samim, if the b'samim is designated to take away the bad odor of the decomposing body, so I also can't make a bracha or remedy b'samim on it. Okay, so my time, what's the reason? Ner l'kavod hu davida. The ner is just for kavod. It's like, you know, a kavod for the maid. But b'samim laburi reicha hu David, and the b'samim were made to take away the bad odor. So Amar Rabbi Marav, Kol Shemot Sin Lefanav Bayom V'Laila In Varchalav. If it's the type of candle that they would bring out for this mate by day or by night, in other words, whether they need the light or they don't need the light, so then you wouldn't make a bracha on that. That's clear that it's not done, that it wasn't, that light is not for illumination. But if it's the type of light that would only be taken out before the maid at night, so he says, then you would make a bracha on it. So Rav Huna says, the besamim, it means the fragrances in the bathroom. In other words, like they had a deodorizer for the bathroom. He says, and the shemen that's used to wipe one's one's hands after the meal and like get rid of the odor and clean the hands, one doesn't recite a bracha on it, even though the Shemin Rashi learns could be borei atzei b'samim, this Shemin you don't make a bracha on. So the implication being, wherever it's not designated for giving like a fragrant smell, one doesn't recite a bracha. We're on 10 lines from the bottom on the Gimel Med Aleph 53a. So Meitvei, on this we ask a question from the following Braisa. Okay, so the Braisa says, Hanichnas l'chanotosha basam, if a person walks into a perfume store, he says, Ve'riach reach, and he inhales the fragrances there, Afilu yashav sham kol yom kulo, Hinu mevarech ala pam achad. Even if he spends the whole day there, he just makes one bracha. It was like a continual ingestion or inhaling of the fragrances. Nichnas v'yatza, nichnas v'yatza, if he walks in and walks out, walks in, walks out, mevarech ala pam apam. Then every time he walks in, and then there's like hesei chadas, and he goes in and he fragrances, and he makes the bracha each time. So the Gemara says here, those besamim that are available in the besamim store, that's just made like so people are aware of what the merchandise is so they can purchase it. It's not made to make anybody fragrant or to smell the fragrances. And nevertheless, the Braisa says that one recites the bracha. Okay, please. So the Gemara says, in l'recha nami hu davida. No, it is also for a purpose of fragrance. He wants people to smell it. And there was the source, the store person wants people to smell it, and then they'll come and buy it. So it is for fragrances. It is for that purpose. So in l'recha nami, one recites a bracha on it. Okay, tam rabbanan yamahal chutz l'krach v'riach reach. Now, if a person is walking outside a city, and now he inhales a fragrance. Now this doesn't have to be Motzei Shabbos, it could be any time. He says, Imrov of Deko Chavimein Mavarech. If most of the people in the city are Goyim, one doesn't recite a bracha because he assumes that, in other words, the Goyim, when they have their meals, their banquets, so presumably these fragrances were used there and it's for Avodah Zarah purposes as well. He says, Imrov Yisrael Mavarech. If most of the people in the city are Jewish, and we assume the Jews are all from, and he says, so I would make a bracha. Rav Yossi Omer, Afil Rov Yisrael Namiyin Mavarech. Yossi says that even if most of the people are Jews, you don't make a bracha. Why? Because there are a lot of Jewish girls, they offer the fragrances for sorcery purposes to get rid of like bad spirits. So even there's some things that are prohibited. So the Gemara now, that's the end of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Atu kulak shafim katran. So the Gemara says, do all the women offer for kshafim? In other words, like let's say it's Rov Yisrael. So all the Jewish women do that, and then probably some do it. So why is it that I can't make a bracha? So the Gemara says, "Habi lemi ut l'kshafim." He says, "Look, a minority will be for kishuf, umi ut nami l'gamir l'kelim, and then a minority will also be to make the clothes fragrant, in other words, to give fragrance to the clothes." He says, "Ishtachak ruba delav l'recha avid." So most of it. So if I take that miyut and that miyut, it'll come out that most of it is not for recha, just like for inhaling. He says, "Vekol ruba delav l'recha avid l'mavarek." So if the robe is not created fragrance to inhale, to have the fragrant smell, you don't make a bracha. If a person walks on Erev Shabbos in Tveria, well, let's say Shabbat Tzipori. I want you to tell me what Gemara this reminds you of, and it's coming up in the second Shabbos. He says, he is Barabbas in Ryokan. If a person is walking on Erev Shabbos in Tiberias, Umotse Shabbatot but Tzipori, or Amotse Shabbos in Tzipori, which is in the mountains, they Riach Reach, and he smells the fragrance. He does not recite a bracha. Because the presumption is that it was just that fragrance is just to like perfume the clothing. So Rashi explains that in Tveria they would make the clothing, you know, fragrant going into Shabbos. So they have nice clothes on Shabbos. And in Tzipori, they would make the clothes fragrant on Motzei Shabbos. So Rashi doesn't explain this, but what I saw is that that to help them like get off Shabbos. In other words, the Shabbos left, so I need something to uplift my spirits, like the Besamim. So a person doesn't do it. Now, so does this remind anybody of any Gemara about Tveri and Tzipori? Yeah?
Well, they can wash Mayim Shon with Mayim from Tveri with Chamim or
Goran Chulin. Well, the Gemara, again, in Shabbos, I was thinking the Gemara says, you know, Yehei Chalkim Makabli Shabbos with Tveri, Mosi Shabbat Tzipori. Will my chelik always be with the people who accept Shabbos in Tveria and the people who usher out Shabbos in Tzipori? Because the people in Tveria, it looks like the sun is setting earlier, so they're mekabel Shabbos right away. And the people in Tzipori, it looks like the sun is setting later, and they keep Shabbos longer. So that's what I think. That's what I thought. He's talking about Shabbos and Tveria. very. So, okay, just one line, I'll open up the floor. And then we got to run because we are running behind schedule. We're very behind schedule. So, Tanur Rabbanan, Yamahalik Bashuk Shel Akum, if a person is walking in the marketplace of Goyim, Nitratzat La'Riach, and he's like enjoying the fragrance that's there, Hareza Chote. He's a Chote because the fragrance is from Avodah Zarah, and he's trying to inhale the Avodah Zarah. Okay, I have time for a 30-second question, Fern. What do you got?
No, go.
Okay, let's go. Okay, we're in Amud Beis on the top line. Nun Gimel Beis 53b. So Ibe Imavarkim Alaneir Achiotu. The Mishnah said one doesn't recite a bracha on the candle until you benefit from the light of the candle. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marablo Yotu Yotu Mamash. It doesn't mean that you really are up front where you could benefit from that candle. El Koshi Luomi Bekaru Mishtamish Laora Vapilu Berichuk Makom. In other words, if Lu Yatsur you'd be up near the candle, you could benefit from it. So even though you're far away from it, so according to Rav, one could recite a bracha on it. Ravashi says the same thing. That's not going to be a liba. The Hilchot we'll see in a minute. Beitve, on this we ask a question from the following brisa. I tell him near Tumna Bechiko Obapanas. If he had a candle that was hidden in his chest or a lantern. So one parshah wants to say it's like both together. So he's got a lantern and it's like hidden away in his chest. Osharashal hebet v'lo nishtamish l'ora. Or he saw a flame but didn't benefit from the light. Or nishtamish l'ora v'lo rashal hebet. Or he benefited from the light but didn't see the flame. Einam avarak. One does not recite a bracha on it. Achi rishal hebet v'ishtamish l'ora. Until he sees the flame and he benefits to the light. So now the Gemara is developing its question. So I hear the case where he benefited from light, but he didn't see the flame. And again, that's a case where, according to the Tanna of this Brisa, one can't make a bracha. In other words, let's say the torch or the candle. Let's say you have a wall, like coming to an L intersection. So somebody's holding the candle. I'm on one side of the wall, somebody on the other side of the wall is holding the candle, and I see the light, so I could benefit from the light but not see the candle. In that case, I understand. But the case where I see the flame, but I didn't benefit from light, how do I have a case like that? So lav de merachika, is it not where the flame is so far from the person, which is what we said before? So before we quoted Rav, that if I'm far away from the flame, let's say the flame is at one end of the room, I'm at this end of the room, but if I would be near the flame so that I could benefit from it, now at this end of the room I can't benefit from it, I do make a bracha. But if this is the correct shot in the Brisa is teaching not this way, that I cannot mistake a bracha on it. So no, that's not the way the Brisa means. You go into Amya Ba'azla. It means that it's dimming. In other words, it's like dimming and extinguishing. In other words, the flame is going out. That's what he says, I can't make a bracha on it. So that's the case where I could see in this ra'ashal hevet below nishtamish la'ora. I could see the flame, but I don't benefit from it because it's like it's so low. Anyway, the point is that welcome. We're on line 10 on Nim Gimel Beis. So the point we're saying is that according to Rav, that a person doesn't have to be right near the candle. A person can be a distance from the candle. As long as he would be near the candle, he could benefit from it. So 1 minute. So the third wide line. So Tan Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, go chalim, get chalim lo chashod. That's like whispering coals, but it means it's like, how does he translate it in the art school? Glowing coals, mevarach on aleihem. One can recite a bracha on glowing coals. Omamot, which is what omamot
dimming.
Okay, so glowing and dimming. Omamot dimming, aim of arkalim. It doesn't write a bracha on dimming coals. Again, we're talking about borei moreish. So hechi dami lo chashot. What are the glowing coals? Amar Reb Chista, kol shilu machdis atochan kisim v'doleket meile. If I would stick a toothpick or a piece of wood in between the two coals and it would immediately ignite, that's glowing coals. So ibayilahu. The question was asked. Omamot or Omod? Is Omod with an aleph or an ayin? And that meant that's the dimming coals. So Tashma, Da'amar of Chistabar Abdimi, Arazim lo Amamuhu, Began Elokim. So the Pasuk in Yechezkel is talking about the kingdom of Ashur, that the Arazim, that the cedars, from Gan Eden, like don't dim like the greatness of the Assyrian Empire. Okay, now the Rava Amar Yeotu Mamash. So Rava disagrees with what Rav said above. So Rav said, so the Mishnah says you can't make the bracha ad Yeotu, can you benefit from it? And Rav says it doesn't mean you actually benefit, but you could benefit if you would be right in front of it. But I see it from here. And now, but Rava says Yeotu Mamash, I have to benefit from it. I have to be there. The Kama. So Amar Ula Kadesha Kirbein Isar the Punjon. So Ula says that I have to be able close enough to distinguish between two coins, like two different coins. Chizki Amar, Chizki says it means I have to be close enough to distinguish between Rashi Pshat, the weight that's used in Tveria, and the weight that's used in Sipori. But in other words, it must have been like close weights, and with light I could see the difference between the two. I think, and then he so quotes on the side, the Arach says, Matbea, coin, a different shot. Okay, now Rabbi Yehuda, Mavarech Adabe Adadayala. So Rabbi Yehuda, so again, we had Rabbi Yehuda on line 1 and 2 of the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda quoted the name of Rav, that I don't have to be right in front of the candle. So he would make a bracha on the fire from Adadayala. I think we've had elsewhere, Dayala was like a hunter or whatever, but it wasn't close to his house. In other words, he would see the flame from a distance and he would make it, because according to his Shita, it's okay. Rava, now Rava held that I have to get benefit from it. Rava Mavarech, the big Guria Barakama. Rava would only make a bracha on the big Guria Barakama that was right near him, and then he would make it. Abai Mavarech Adabei Bar Avua. Abai make a bracha Adabei Bar Avua. It's not clear which one Abai was going like. So Amar Avi Yudam Rav. And so again, lahalacha, we hold that you have to be near the candle and able to benefit from the candle to make the bracha borei morei aish. So Amar Rav Yomarav in mechazrin ala or k'derish mechazrin la mitzvot. One doesn't have to go on Motzei Shabbos looking for a candle like the way one looks for mitzvot. He says Amar Rav Zeira mireish haba mahadrana. So Rav Zeira says originally I would go searching for the candle Motzei Shabbos. Came and again they didn't have matches in those days. It wasn't so easy. So came into shemana lahad the Rav Yehuda Marav. Once I heard this member from Rav that if I have it, I have it. Not ananami lo mahadran. I don't bother. If I have it, then I make the bracha. Otherwise, not. Okay, we have 30 seconds for questions. What's up? Anybody good?
So the lights off.
What?
What if you have a room lit like this?
No. But you could still get benefit from the candle if it's
you. Could, but I don't need to.
You don't need to, but you could. So that's enough.
So in other words, it doesn't have to be the primary benefit of the light. Doesn't have to be illumination, even if it's.
What do you mean?
Okay, I'm trying to follow.
We said it does have to be for illumination.
Right. So let's say you're in a place with a fireplace.
Right.
And you keep stoking the fire for the purposes of heating the room.
Right.
But it's simultaneously illuminating the room.
Well, the thing is that the purpose that you have that fireplace for, illumination or heat?
No, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm asking. That's the key question.
Well, obviously a fireplace is generally a heat.
So, but it, if you also have the purpose of illumination, if that's the purpose why you have that fireplace, so then that would qualify. But if the purpose is just for heating, it wouldn't qualify.
Right, could you simply arbitrarily say it's for two purposes?
No, arbitrarily
it's
can't.
Be one or the
No, it could be for both. It could be for both, but it has to truly be for both, not made up for both. In other words, that's truly the case that when you light that fireplace, your intent is also to get light from it.
Right, but you could simply take the position.
All right, we got to move on.
Convenience. Yes, it's A, but
that's what I'm trying to say. It can't be a type of harama, like a baloney explanation. But if it's true that it's really for illumination, then in Akinami you can make a bracha on that. Okay, well, anything else doing? Okay, let's keep moving. Now, Mishacha v'chulei. Now, we said that you have to make bench in the place where you ate, and then we had a machlok between Beit Hillel Beit Shammai whether I have to go back. If Mishacha v'chulei. So, Amrav Zvivi, Tamer Rav Dimi Bar Abba, machloket b'shachach. So, he says the machloket our mission between Beit Hillel Beit Shammai means the person forgot. In other words, he was in place A, he went to place B, and now he realizes, I forgot to bench in place A. So there, Beit Hillel says I could bench in place B, and Beit Shammai says I got to go back to the place where I ate. But if amazed, he says I can't bench right now. I got to go. I got to take business, and then I'll bench later on. Everybody agrees they have to go back to the original place, Vivarech, and to bench there. So the Gemara says Pshita b'shachach tanan. It's obvious because the mission said b'shachach, you forgot. So obviously I know that it's talking about forgetting. So I would have thought the machloket is straight up and straight down. In other words, Beit Hillel and Shammai have the same machloket b'shogeg, they have the same machloket in the case of mezid. But I did katani b'shachach. The reason the Tana teaches me the case of forgetting, l'diachach kochan to Beit Shammai, teach me the stringency of Beit Shammai, that even though he forgot and he wasn't culpable, so to speak, nevertheless he has to go back. He says kamashmalan. Tani, we learn in the brayso. Amru lehem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, l'divreichem, according to you, Beit Hillel speaking to Beit Shammai, mishachah b'rosh habira. If a person ate a meal on top of like the bira, like this tower, this building. He eats on the 50th floor. The shachach v'irad, and then he forgot to bench, and he went all the way down. Below beireich, and then he didn't bench. Yeah, so the rosh habira v'varech. So he's got to go all the way back up and now bench. Like think of the Empire State Building. So Amru lehem beit shammai the beit hillel. Beit shammai said to beit hillel, l'zvreichem, according to you, mishach arneki rosh habira. If a person left his wallet on top of the building, so he says lo yad levi etlanu. Wouldn't he go up? Wouldn't he make the effort to go up and do it? So the chvod atzmo huola. So for his own needs, he goes. So the chvod shemaim lo kol shkein. So for Kadosh Baruch Hu, certainly he should go up.
That's not a fair answer.
Why not?
Because if he, I can say the same bracha down here. Yeah. I don't have to be up there.
Yeah,
but I can't get my wallet down here.
Yeah, but no, but the both Beit Hillel Beit Shammai.
Covet for the money, yeah. Covet for the God.
Yeah, but both Beit Hillel Beit Shammai.
Covet, I'm
okay,
saying.
Both Beit Hillel Beit Shammai agree that it's always more preferable to bench in the place where you ate. In some way, that's like a much more enhanced bracha to have it in the place where you ate. So he's saying if you go up sometimes for your money, can't you go up to create like a better bracha? Okay, but I got to move it now. The Gemara says Hanot Trei Talmidei. There were these two Talmidim. One was Machmir, even though he Bishoge forgot to bench in place A, and now he's in place B. So Beit Hillel says I could bench there. But he went back and was Machmir like Beit Shammai. The Ashkach Arnika Dadava, and then he found this wallet with gold. The Chad Abid Bemezid Kibet Hillel. One, Bemezid, in other words, he didn't eat in place A and he knew about it. He said, I got to take care of business, I'm going. And then he benched in the other place. Now Beit Hillel holds you have to go back in those circumstances, but he didn't. But Achle Arya, and then he was eaten by a lion. So, okay, stop it. Anyway, so the, Rapaka was saying something to me like today, like he wasn't like Zahir, like in his eating, and like the lion ends up eating him. So, Rabbi Baruch, correct. Rabbi Baruch Hanna have a ka'azil b'shayarta. Rabbi Baruch Hanna was heading with a caravan. You have to be with this caravan, otherwise you're like in Gahak Tetzuris. Achal b'shtali b'lo barich. He ate, he forgot the bench, and now the caravan's moving on. Amar hechi avi says, what am I going to do? Yamilu in Shai Lavarich, if I tell the people I forgot the bench, Amri, they're going to say to me, barich, and then here the Bach has Barich Haka, so bench here, Klarich the Mavarcha, the Rahman Mavarcha, wherever you bench, so Kadosh Baruch will hear it. So Mutav Daminilhu in Shai Yona Dava. You know, it's better if I say I forgot a golden dove, and then they'll understand. Like I could say the language they understand. So Amar Lahu, so he said to them, and truly, he says, wait for me. Then Shai Yona Dava, I forgot a golden dove, I got to go back. Azilu Barich Vashach Yona Dava. So he went, and he benched, and he found a golden dove. Why is it a Yonah that he found? The Jewish people are compared to a dove. That the wings of Yonah are covered in silver. And its pinions, it means like its claws, are like with like brilliant gold. My Yonah inani solet elabichnafel. Just like a dove is only saves itself with its wings, flies away those wings to fight its adversaries with its wings. Alf Yisrael inani solet elabichnafel. So to Jewish people only save through mitzvot. Two things. First of all, this pasuk about the Yonah is coming up in the second Shabbos in the beginning of Reb Lezer Demin. The same pasuk is quoted in Kuf Lamed. Now I read something. I have it in one of the sheets, but it was, let me see who it was. Let me see quickly if I can find it. Yeah, who do they quote? Yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein. So he was asked, how could he lie and say I've got this Yonah Dava? So he was saying that, like, the person was saying, like, this is very important to me. So he was saying it to them in a language, a way they could understand it. In other words, like, for me, this is, like, as valuable as a golden dove. So he's allowed to say that, so he's, like, saying it in the way that people understand it. Like, I'm assuming the language, the way they understand it. Okay, let's go from the Gemara. Now, I got to look at it firm. Okay, now, now, how long can a person bench after eating? Like, the clock runs, how long? So kamashir equals, so the Gemara said, until the mazon is digested. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol zman shein arai. Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as he's not hungry, so he can bench. He says, Reish Lakish Amar, Kol zman sheitzma machman achilato. Shlakish says, as long as he's thirsty because of what he ate. Now, it's different. It sounds like Lachor is Machlok Rashi and Tosfos, how long a period of time it is. But the Rashi learns that's a shorter period of time. So, Amri Rabbi Yehma Bar Shlami Lamar Zutra, Amri La Rabbi Yehma Bar Sheizvi Lamar Zutra, Miyamar Reish Lakish Haki. Did Reish Lakish really say, as long as you're thirsty from the food? It means like you eat a meal, you see you're thirsty. He says, Vahama Ravami, Amarish Lakish, Kamashir equal So we have another member of Reish Lakish that says that, like time it takes to walk 4 mil would one weigh 72 minutes. So lo kasha kan ba'achila meruba. So the way Rashi takes it, if it's a big meal, so I need 72 minutes. He says kan ba'achila mu'etet. If it's a small meal, then it's as long as I'm thirsty from it, according to Reish Lakish. Now Tosfos quotes this, and he learns just punfakared. He says if it's the achila meruba, the big meal, as long as I'm thirsty from it, he figures that that's a longer period of time. But the small meal is 72 minutes. Okay, let's back on the Gemara. So balam yain v'chulei. Now we said at the end of the Mishnah that when a person makes a bracha, so you answer amen, but if the kuti makes a bracha, I have to hear the whole bracha. So balam yain mechulei, the member of the Israel afakav lo shamakul bracha on it. So he says, sounds like if it's a Jew makes the bracha, even though I don't hear the whole bracha, I could answer amen. V'chilo shama hechinafik. How could it be yotzei the bracha if he didn't hear the whole bracha? We're assuming that he's the bracha for benching. So amar chibarav b'shloa chali mahen. So chibarav says, no, we're not talking about his yotzei. He didn't eat with them. He's just hearing the bracha that we're talking about. So Rav said to his son, Bri, my son, chatofu baret, grab it and bench. So Rashi says, it's talking about the kosher bracha. If you look at Rashi, 20 lines from the bottom, Shemal Shitin Kosha Bracha, when they extend the Kosha Bracha, Avi Mechazer, Shinei Lechao Tvarech. Like, try to make it that they'll offer it to you and you'll bench. In other words, try to arrange it that you'll get the Kosha Bracha and bench. And it was only one person would bench, was Man Chazal. He says, V'chein Amar Avhuna L'Rabba Berei, Chatovu Barech. L'meimra de Mavarech Adif, Mimanda Ani Amen. So the implication is that the one who recites the Bracha is in a better situation than the one who answers Amen. Everybody will answer Amen, I'm going to say the Bracha. So it sounds like it's better saying the Bracha than answering Amen. He says, V'hatani, but we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Riosi says it's better, like you get more sakar for answering amen than reciting the bracha. So Amali Reb Nohari, said to him, Ashamayim Kenu, like he takes the lashon shuvah, that's true. Teda, you can see, and again Reb Nohari usually says Reb Meir, he says, Shere Gul Yarin Yordin Midgarin, the regular soldiers go and they fight in the war, Umidgarin Milkama, the Giborin Yordin Natskin, then the big warriors come down and then they clean it up. So the person, the one who's answering Amen is like cleaning up at the end, and so he gets more sakar. So the Gemara says Tanayim, it's really Machloka Tanayim. He says, the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Echad HaMavarech V'chad HaOna Amen B'mashma. So there's a Pasuk that the Gemara darshens out that if say a bracha and answer Amen, they're both included in the Pasuk. Ela Shememaharin L'Mavarech Yoter Min HaOna Amen. So this Braisa says that in Shemayim they're more quicker to give sakhar to the one who makes the bracha rather than the one who says Amen. So anyway, so there's two shitot about who's on a higher level, the one who says Amen and the one who says the bracha. So B'Aminei Shmuel Mirav Ma'alon Ona Meina Kartino Kochel Beit Rabban. So am I obligated to answer Amen from children who were studying in yeshiva? So Amalei, Achar Kol Onan Amen, Chus Mitono Koshal Beit Rabban. After everybody answer Amen, but children, you don't have to answer Amen. Who are little made us sweet? Since they're just learning it to understand how to make the bracha, I don't answer Amen. Mahani Mile, but lo Idan Miftarayim. That's not at the time when they say the Haftorah. So it was Man Chazal, and even in Europe, they would have, at least among Ashkenazim and Sephardim, certainly, they would have, people below Bar Mitzvah that would recite the Haftorah. Here it sounds like very young kids, but so then, Aval Be'idan Miftarayim, Rayu own it. Tani says after and so on. Then at that bracha, I'm going to answer Amen to. So Tan Rabbanan Shem Ma'akev the bracha de Rabbi Ziloi. So Rabbi Ziloi says if the custom is to have oil after my macronium, so I take oil to clean the hands and make them fragrant because the hand smells terrible after the meal. So if that's the custom, so then that's Ma'akev the bracha. I can't bench till I wipe my hands with that oil. Rabbi Zivoy Omer Einu Ma'akev. Rabbi Ziloi says no, it's not Ma'akev. Rabbi Acha Omer Shemen Tov Ma'akev. If it's Shemen Tov, they have shemen, which has like these fragrant woods placed in it. So then it's ma'akev. Rabbi Zuhumai Omer. Now I don't know. Like the name sounds like what he's talking about, so I don't know the connection. Rabbi Zuhumai Omer. Shem shemizuam pasul avoda. Just like a kohen with all sorts of odors is possible to do service in the base of Mikdash, kach yadayim zuhum pasul lebracha. So the hands that are smelly, dirty, that's pasul lebracha. So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, anan lo zilay v'lo zivay v'lo zuhumai yadana. I don't know from Rabbi Zilay, I don't know Rabbi Zivay, I don't know Rabbi Zuhumai, el maniti yadana, I do know the braisa. Da'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, ba'amri lama manitatan. Rabbi Yisrael Marav, some say it was so in a brisa. V'hit kadishtem, it says the pasuk v'kadishtem v'yitem kitoshim. He says v'hit kadishtem elamayim rishonim. In other words, you should be holy. That's a reference to mayim rishonim, the washing the hands before the suda, which is obviously the rabbanon. But there's a remez in the pasuk. He says v'yitem kitoshim, and you should be holy elamayim achronim. The obligation of mayim achronim before benching. Ki kadosh, he says. ki kadosh ani. He says zeh shemen. That's refers to the oil. He says ani hashem elokeichem zubracha. That's the benching. All right. So let me just hadron alach elu dvar mishkol ki pinchin in the parak. Let's do one line in the next mishnah, and we'll take 30 seconds of questions. Aroma kol mishnah suba yishim mitzvah omer rusha asani silo tinam kol mizeh. If a person comes to a place where a miracle was done to the Klal Yisrael, so he makes this special bracha that Hashem did Asanisim, and Rashi says it means like you have a place where a Kriyas Yamsuf or the Arden or the incident of Nafal are known, so in those places you make that bracha. Okay, now,
let me, he's heard the example of going up and down the building, but obviously when you're sitting on a plane, the meal is not in the same spot.
Or let's say you're eating on a boat.
Or a donkey.
I would say, I don't know about the donkey, but if in the boat and in the plane, I'd say the places where you ate the meal. That's where I would go with it. All right, there's a lot more stuff. Let me just do 30 seconds with this. Okay, so we said about the one making the bracha, the one making amen. The Shulchan Aruch rules in the course of Rav, the one should attempt to be mezamein. The one should attempt to be the one who is the one reciting the benching. The Shurur deliberates as to when Salach applies even today when everyone recites his own birchas mazon. So the Gemara has a machloket, who should be the mezamein, but the mezamein would make the benching and everybody listening to him. So what about today? Everybody says they're benching. So he says perhaps the special significance that Rav placed on the mezamein is if he is the only one who recites birchas mazon, as most of the others who only respond amen. Perhaps nowadays it's not so important to leave the zimun, since everyone recites their own birchas mazon, so it's not so pashut with that. Okay, now with the amen.
Why isn't it like tefillah, where someone comes and asks you to say chakras, and you say,
we did that last week.
The,
why isn't the mezamein in the same thing, and why isn't it yuhara or arrogance to say, no, I'll do, I'll bench.
Yeah. I asked you the same question.
Yeah.
We also have a hierarchy.
What I would have to say is, like, being the shif sibur is a greater appointment than the one benching for a meal. That's what I would think. In other words, like you're the head of the whole sibur, and I think that that's what I would think. Now, he says here...
give me a different answer.
What?
You gave me a different
What answer did I give you?
I forgot.
Okay. I don't even remember you answering. I don't remember
you
answering.
So okay. Then you don't have any evidence you gave it to the
Kohen.
You
give it to the Kohen, but we don't have the Kohen to daven.
That's a din in the Kiddush Toh, that he should be the first one to be mezamein. All right, we're out of time.
What does it mean that you didn't hear the entire blessing?
In other words, I didn't hear every word in it. In other words, so if it's a kuti, I have to be concerned that he put something in Avodah Zarah in the part that I didn't hear.
No, not at that point.
What's the thing?
In other words,
I should hear every word in the bracha, but I hear every word in the bracha, I can still say amen. I just hear you say, look, grow it a halel. I didn't say it at the beginning. Okay, all right, that's it tonight. Learning tonight was Lulu Neshama of
Meir Shalom
Ben Avram Menachem Zechron Lebracha.